Please remain standing, take your Bibles, go to Lamentation chapter 3, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter number 3. We'll be reading verses 22 through 26 together. I'll read one more verse after that. Read these verses responsively. I'll read verse 22, you'll join with me on verse 23. We'll all read verse 26 together. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And I'll read verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for what you've done today so far. Lord, how you've already spoke to our hearts. You've already encouraged us. Lord, now be tonight, Lord. We need something new and fresh this evening. Lord, the blessings from this morning will not do for tonight. Lord, there's burdens. Lord, there's people that are sick and not feeling well. Lord, meet those needs tonight. Encourage and strengthen. Use our pastor. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Fill us with your power as we listen. May our hearts be open. Lord, may our minds be ready to receive the truth that you have for us tonight. We love you. We need you. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I enjoy the fall season. Now, I probably don't enjoy it the same way you do. It's not because of all the pretty leaves. Folks, colorblind people don't see all the pretty leaves. They're either red, brown, or yellow. That's it. I don't see anything else. And usually what you call red, I call brown. So it doesn't matter to me what color the leaves are. But in the fall, we've gotten through a long, hot summer. The weather begins to turn a little bit, and the mornings are a little bit cooler. Hadn't it been nice to go out and it's 55 or 60 degrees instead of 85 degrees at 5 in the morning? Things are starting to get ready for winter. The days are getting shorter. The sunrises and the sunsets are honestly more spectacular to me in the spring and the fall than they are any other time. This summer, I would get here at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the lights were just barely on and turning off. Now I'm here for an hour or so before they're turning off, or 2 hours. It's just a different time of year. Fall is also enjoyable because it's hunting season. That's probably the best part of it to me. And I'm not going to tell a bunch of hunting stories. Be calm, ladies. Yeah, we'll talk to the men about that later. But I enjoy being out in the fresh cut fields. There's something about the fall cut and everything else, and they'll turn the fields over and the dirt smell and all that kind of stuff. It's just extra nice. It seems like the activities of the animals increases in the fall. You got the birds that are flocking up, and you got the geese and the ducks that are flying all over the place. You got the squirrels that are running everywhere that you swear is a deer running up behind you, and it's a squirrel. And then there's another squirrel, and then another one. And you unload your gun on a bunch of squirrels just because you're frustrated. But it's truly wonderful to enjoy everything God made. You say, you wouldn't shoot a squirrel, would you? Yeah, you get about 6 or 8 of them, you can make a mess of gravy that's pretty good. I enjoy all kinds of hunting. By the way, you don't shoot them with a big rifle or it's gravy before you get to it. All right? I enjoy all kinds of hunting. I love using my bow. I love shooting my rifles. I like black powder. I like the shotguns. There's not a type of hunting I don't enjoy. I enjoy hunting birds. I enjoy hunting turkey. I enjoy hunting rabbits and squirrels and deer. I enjoy looking for the game. I enjoy, in some cases, calling for it, getting turkey season, and got your mouth calls out there, and you're sounding like a bunch of idiots out there, but we're having fun. You got deer calls, and you got your grunts, and you got your deer bleats, and you got all the other different kinds of sounds that you use to draw them in. You got your antlers that you'll rattle to try to bring in a buck, all kinds of things. And I enjoy that. I love bow hunting because bow hunting, it's up close and personal. Bow hunting, most of the deer you shoot bow hunting is from here to the back of the auditorium away. You got to get close. Now, I can reach out about twice that far pretty easily, but usually it's 30 yards or under for most people. And I say that to say this. That means there's less room for error. That thing walks out in open field and you're standing there and you've got to draw your bow. Guess what? You have been seen. And you've got to know when to draw your bow. You got to know when they're positioned right and when their body's in the right place and when they quit walking and all that kind of good stuff. There's a lot that goes into it. I love the acquisition of the game after you've taken it. And I like butchering my own meat. It, to me, there's just nothing like going out and getting your own food that way. There's far more to hunting than just killing. Listen to that statement. There's far more to hunting than killing. There's a vast difference between a hunter and a killer. Let me say that again. There is a vast difference between a hunter and a killer. Hunting is planning. It's dressing right. It's the right sense. It's the right windage, the right stand or placement of where you're going to hunt. It's the right weapon. It's having all of this and having something come by where you are while you're prepared and making that shot happen. There's a lot more to it than just hunting or just killing. It's a bit of an adrenaline rush. And it's always a bit sobering as it's exciting. I get excited when I take an animal, but there's a little part of it that's quite sobering. You walk up on that critter that you took, and it ought to be sobering. You ought to stop for a moment and say, I just took its life. And let me say it this way, and I said this to my son yesterday. I said, if I ever lose that sober feeling in hunting, I quit hunting because I've become a killer and not a hunter. If it doesn't bother you a little bit and sober you up a little bit, do us a favor, put your guns away and never go hunting. Because all you are is a killer. If you felt nothing at all that you took that animal's life, something's not right. You don't respect it. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait upon him, to the soul that seeketh him. Verse 40 says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Did you know that that word seek and the word search are literally interpreted the word hunt? It literally means to hunt. Many years ago, I was sitting in a tree stand. I was waiting to shoot a deer, hopefully. I couldn't tell you, to this day, I couldn't tell you if I had shot a deer that day or not. I can tell you I was sitting in my tree stand. I had 3x5 cards with me. I had my Bible with me. I was working in my tree stand, and I had these thoughts, and I want to give them to you tonight. That is this. The Christian life is much like hunting. Very much like hunting. There's a lot of similarities to the Christian life and what you might call a sport. I don't consider hunting a sport necessarily. Sports don't end in death. If they do, that's a pretty weird sport. There's something that's in me that doesn't call that a sport, but you can call it what you want. But let me give you about five or six things tonight. Let me see here, five things. And I think it will be helpful to you. Number one, we need to know the rules and the laws. I have here the latest edition, the 2019-2020 Hunting and Trapping Regulations for the state of West Virginia. It is about 45 pages, 46 pages long. In this, it covers what all the laws for every game is. About third page or so, second page, you have on it the schedule and the seasons for how, when deer season comes in, when turkey season comes in, when squirrel and rabbit season comes in, and duck and goose and all the other things, spring, fall, when the dates are, has how many that you're allowed to take in certain counties, has the opening date, closing date, but you also have to know at what times you can hunt. For instance, turkey season in the spring, half hour before sunrise, and you can't shoot past 1 o'clock. But in the fall, half hour before sunrise, half hour after sunset. Deer season, half hour before sunrise, half hour after sunset, last shooting light. You've got to know those rules while you're out there. You've got to know how many of those animals you're allowed to shoot based on how many tags you have for those animals. Because I'm here to tell you, you take too many and DNR catches you, you are not going to be a happy person. And I believe in doing things right. I believe in following the rules. So you ought to know the rules. You ought to know what the new regulations. Every year there's just a little bit of difference in the rules, and they have what they call rule changes in there. If you're familiar enough with the rules, you just kind of peruse them and get your date set. If you noticed, I have all the important ones highlighted, so they'll go on my schedule book this week, and I'm ready for them. And I'll know when what's in. I know what weapons are what time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can I tell you something? There's a rule book. We ought to know it. We ought to know what that book says. So before you go hunting, you should know what the rules say. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Look at verse number 39. John chapter 5, verse number 39. The Bible says this, search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Hunt in the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, And they are they which testify of me. Can I tell you something? We are to search the scriptures. Have you ever hunted in the Bible? Have you ever tried to track something down in the Bible? Say, no, preacher, I just text you and you tell me where it's at. There's probably not many in here that haven't done that. All right? And you say, how'd you find it? Lots of hunting practice. You see, the Bible says we are to search or to hunt in the scriptures. You know, you need to know what the rules are. You need to know what God wants. You need to know what counties you can do what in. You need to know the different rules and regulations so that we can do what God wants in the Christian life. You see, can I tell you something? Groundhog season's open year round. It's open season. Deer season is not year-round, even with a car, all right? Between you and Brother Lopez smashing cars, you with deer and him with people, you say, well, it's not my fault. Okay, but, I mean, between the two of them, we've sold about 15 or 20 cars in the last 2 years. It's been exciting. You got to know what critters are in season. You got to know when the seasons are, when to go, when not to go. You've got to know, for instance, in turkey season, you don't wear hunter orange. All right? Turkeys are smarter than deer. Turkeys have a better eye than a deer. Deer's eyes are pretty bad. They're colorblind, thank God. That's why I like hunting deer. But you wear blaze orange, you got to have 400 square inches of blaze orange to hunt deer season, gun season, not bow season. Say, well, why wouldn't you do that with turkey season? Because a turkey has a photographic memory. It walks out into a field, scans the field, looks it over, It knows where everything is at and continues on. And if anything changes, that's when they start getting nervous. That's why Ben Franklin thought that the turkey should be the national bird, because they're very smart, intelligent birds. He didn't get to do that because Jefferson wanted the bald eagle. But they took the red, white, and blue head of a gobbler and turned that into our national colors in representation of the turkey. All right. And by the way, that's why the blue in the flag should be that cobalt blue from a turkey. It's a different color blue. It's not a navy blue. Say, where did that come from? Because the turkey is a pretty smart bird. Now, you can fool him with his ears, but you're not going to fool his eyes. And they have rods and cones in their eyes, and they can see way far off. They see motion. And boy, the slightest little move, oh my soul, off they go into the wild blue yonder. Say, why do you do that? Because there are certain seasons you need to wear orange. Certain seasons you don't wear orange. There are times that you're going to be doing different things. There's times you can use bait. There's times you can't use bait. After September 1st, you don't want to be hunting anything around bait. Say why? You can talk to the man that has the guns on his hips, has a DNR plastered on his shirt, while he takes your gun, takes your car, and takes you to jail and fines you about $7,000 or $8,000. You can explain to him how stupid you are. I'm not going to. See, the Bible is ours to know. That's why God said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know if the DNR officer walks up to you and he says, did you know, you're supposed to say, yes, sir? Even if you say, no, sir, he's going to say, you should have known that. You should have read the rule book. Oh. Everybody doing okay? That's why you need to read your Bible every day. I'm not saying you need to read 400 chapters every day. I'm not saying, for some of you, if you just read one verse and got something out of one verse every day, I'd be happy. I mean that. I think sometime in your life you ought to be able to read through the Bible cover to cover once in a year. But I don't think you're a bad Christian if you don't read through it the whole way in 1 year. Everybody doing okay? Now, you say, well, that's my goal, right? What did you get out of it? I'd rather you get something out of it every day. You say, preacher, how long do you read the Bible? I heard this years ago and I love it. I read the Bible till it burns, then I read it because it burns. I read it until I get something, then I read it because I got something. I average about 3 times a year through my Bible, just in reading. I spend a lot of time in it. Say why? I work with you. but we ought to memorize it. We ought to read it. We ought to memorize it. You know, there's plenty of verses in there that we ought to memorize. If you need wisdom, go to Proverbs. If you need help and strength and encouragement and love and compassion, go to the Psalms. And I could point you to other verses. If you struggle with certain sins and you come to me, I'll say, here's a list of verses. Memorize these. And when you're tempted to do these things, start quoting these verses. Did you know the devil even take your desire for sin away if you start quoting verses? Because he hates the word of God. Mrs. Lopez was sharing with me, one of our ladies who has been saved and baptized, here in the last 6 months or so. And she's had troubles with smoking. Well, she got sick recently, and she's gone about a week without smoking. She said, well, I don't know if it's because I got baptized or what, but I don't even have a desire for cigarettes anymore. I'm not going to smoke anymore because I heard what the preacher said. That's called growth in grace. I love it. I was about ready to have a spell when I heard that one. Now, if we could just get Kathy to give up her chewing tobacco. Right, Brother Harry? You know, there's a reason for these rules. They're to keep you safe. But stand up here for a second. If he and I are in the same field, it's not just to keep me safe, it's to keep him safe. These rules aren't meant just for you. It's meant for everybody else that may be near you. Thank you. Have a seat. You know, you're not supposed to shoot a weapon within 500 yards or 500 feet, 500 yards of a church or a school. You're not supposed to shoot within 300 yards of a home. Or 100 yards, I'm sorry, 300 feet of a home. Say, why? Because that's what the rules are to keep everybody safe. And I've joked about hunting from my office window. I would not do that. It's not legal. I've joked about it, but I'm not doing it. Just don't tell me. Because you will be on camera. Now, wait a minute. I have joked about it, but it's not legal to do. Therefore, I would not do it. You see, there are certain rules here to keep everybody safe. There's a certain portion on one of the farms that we hunt. They've now put houses down in one corner. And it, man, we put a hurting on a bunch of game down in that corner of the farm. Let me tell you, I have filled 3 or 4 freezers from that one spot. I can't hunt there now. We've got to go down a couple hundred yards. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way life happens. With the houses there, they're not going to be moving there anyway, so it's all right. I'm thinking, man, if you people only knew what I've done in your backyard. I know what's under that grass. Oh, can I tell you something? We ought to know this book, so not only to help ourselves, but so we can help somebody else. Don't break the rules, even if you think you can get away with it. This last spring last spring we were getting ready to move in this building. I didn't do any turkey hunting, but a year ago, I had shot a great big gobbler. It was so much fun. He pitched down right out in the middle of a field. He was about 250 yards away from me, and I called him in. He's working his way down. And this thing gets within about 100 yards of me. And I look up, and Brother Harry got 2 hens running around right in front of me. And if you know anything about turkey hunting and you got hens around, they're on high alert. And they're sitting there purring. I'm thinking, oh no. You cannot compete with a live hen. Ain't no way. So I just stopped. That old bird, he's just walking at me. One of them hens, I'm sitting on the ground with my boots up in the air, got my gun, and one of those hens jumps up and sits on the toe of my boot. And I'm thinking, just sit there just a little longer, sweetie. Just a little longer. I got this big old turkey sitting on my foot, you know. There's 12, 14-pound bird sitting on my foot. Say, what'd you do? I didn't breathe. I didn't move. And that old gobbler, he come a strutting in. And she decided, she looked at me and she went. She jumped off my boot. She ran and she went through the fence. And that old gobbler went like this. I thought, well, I got my decoys out there. And she just went that way. And his attention just went that way. It's now or never. And you can go in my office and see it was now. I got him. Wait a minute. About a week later, I went back out to the farm. I went to a different spot. I was having a good conversation with a bunch of gobblers that morning. I would go, gop, 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 gop. And they were, all, I mean, it was crazy in the woods that morning. They were calling everywhere, Brother Sam. I could hear these buzzards, man. They're just calling and calling. I'm thinking, they're going to run me over. I'm sitting right up against the fence. They're going to walk on my head. I mean, they were as close as Brother Joe Lopez is to me on the other side of the fence behind me. So I'm turning around. I'm waiting, you know. And I'm just letting them come and come and come. Do you know what? All 3 of those birds went boom and landed right in front of me. At the same time. And all 3 of them stood in a line like this. You're allowed 2 turkeys, 2 gobblers in the spring. I already have 1. Now I got 3 in a row. I'm thinking, I'm using a shotgun, not a rifle. If I pull this trigger, I'll guarantee there's going to be more than one of them going on the ground. And I'm going, I'm just following them. And they stayed in this perfect line the whole time, everywhere they went till they were out of range. I looked up, I said, that wasn't real funny, God. But I was obedient. I didn't pull the trigger. I knew I was only allowed one, and I knew if I pulled the trigger, I probably was going to kill more than one. So I did not do it. Say why? Because I knew what the rules were, and I tried to keep the rules. I've got to hurry. Number two, the Bible says we should hunt for wisdom. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. We should not only hunt the scriptures, but we ought to hunt for wisdom. And I'll hurry through these next points. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 13 here. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Findeth. He was a successful hunter. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Some of you haven't got the Proverbs 3 yet. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verse number 13. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom. Notice that. Seek and search out by wisdom. In other words, we're to hunt for wisdom. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 25. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 25. I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom. Wow. In other words, we are to be hunting for wisdom. Wisdom is not looking at life through your eyes, but looking at life through God's eyes and God's words. Folks, we've got a pretty perverted view of life. We're sinners. At best, we are sinners. Therefore, we ought to view life as God sees it, not as we see it. Everybody doing okay? Did you know we're not supposed to look at the Bible in our eyes? We're supposed to look at it in His eyes. What I preached this morning was the Bible from God's viewpoint, not man's viewpoint. It'll hair lip every Catholic church in town and every denominational church in town, I promise you. Say why? Because they have sucked down what man wants, not what God wants. Did you know that you get wisdom from the Bible? So we should search the Bible. Did you know you get wisdom from wise people? You ought to ask wise people for advice. You are no better than the person you would ask advice from. And if the only person you ask for advice is you, you have problems. I don't think J.P. Morgan comes and asks you questions about finances. So if you don't think that, well, I don't need any help with finances. I'm only $300,000 in debt. In other words, we ought to ask advice. We could ask God for wisdom. James chapter 1 says, let any man ask, any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Did you know you can ask God for wisdom? Every morning when we meet as a staff, I meet with our staff to get the day started every day. Virtually every day we start in prayer and I ask God to give us wisdom to do His work His way that day. Did you know life experiences give you wisdom? You start driving and you start driving fast. You'll get stopped a few times by a guy with lights on top of his car and you'll pay these unbelievable fines. It's called a ticket. And they're supposed to give you wisdom. Be careful, Elizabeth, pointing your finger. You're next. did you know the experiences of life are to teach you wisdom? If you keep making the same mistake over and over, wake up. I got to hurry here. So we should search the scriptures. We should hunt for wisdom. Next, we need to be hunting for lost people to get saved. Luke chapter 19, verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. We are to be seeking for lost people. Guess what? You won't have to look very hard. That's right. They're everywhere. We are to be seeking them and being successful at least acquiring where they are. Can I help you with something? Get you a handful of gospel tracts if you're afraid to talk. And when you see a lost person, say, here, that'll show you how you can go to heaven someday when you die. If that's the best you can do, go for it.
Amen.
I'd rather you do that than do nothing.
Amen.
You don't even have to know the person. Shoot. I've led more people, Lord, that I don't know than I did know. I got to know them because I led them to the Lord. It's all you got to do is hand them a gospel tract. Now, I think you ought to graduate from that to at least trying to witness to them. But if nothing else, give them a tract. Give them a copy of the gospel. You ought to go soul winning. Teenagers need to go soul winning. Men need to go soul winning. Ladies need to go soul winning. Everybody doing okay? Somebody say amen. Soul winning is not something we should be afraid of. Now, folks, I've been soul winning for 40 years. Man, I hope they're not home. But it only takes that first door to pop open, and I'm ready to go. I can't tell you what it is in me, but the pedal to the metal, and here we go, it's going to happen. Say why? Because I get excited giving people the gospel, watching people get saved. It's not a notch on the belt. It's so people can keep from dying and going to hell. We have Thursday night soul winning. We have Saturday soul winning. If you need to go at another time, Brother Josh is getting ready to start teen soul winning on Thursday nights. And we're going to get the teenagers out and get them out soul winning on Saturday nights if at all possible. Or Thursday nights, not Saturday, I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Thursday night, not Saturday. Look, soul winning is for everybody. Well, God didn't call me to be a soul winner. No, he didn't call you. He didn't call me to be one either. He commanded me. You don't need a call if you got a command.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He already rung your bell. Just pick it up and do it.
Amen.
The line's open. Just start talking. Everybody doing okay? Number four, I got to hurry because I'm going to try to get you out in time. We need to hunt for peace. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse number 11. I love these. I love how God words things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 11. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The word ensue means go after it. You hunt a turkey or a deer and you make a shot, the first thing you do is you go after it. You got no use for somebody to shoot an animal and not go look for it. Now, when you're colorblind and can't follow a blood trail, you got to get creative. And I don't lose many critters, promise you. I've learned how to watch them as they go through the woods or where they go. I've learned to find the trail that they were on. I can follow broken branches and heavy hoof marks. I can't see blood. My boys, my dad will tell you, look at that blood. Where? Right there. Where? Here, take my finger. Well, right there. I can see it down there. I cannot see blood on the ground. But my wife and my son, Jeff, bought me this new light last year. And it highlights blood. It doesn't turn it red. It turns it black. But it shines. I shot a deer last year. I couldn't find it. And I knew right where it went in. I'd walked around for 15 minutes. I thought, wait a minute, I got that new light. I wonder if this stupid thing works. You know, you get all these gadgets and, this is guaranteed to work. Right. I put that old stupid light on, and all of a sudden I said, okay, I already walked down that trail, but where'd all that come from? And I had walked about 10 yards, and when I went this way, the trail went this way, and it was as close as from me to that baptistry away from me. I walked right by and couldn't see it because it was under a bunch of thistles and stuff. But that light enhanced the blood to where I could see it. By the way, I've looked for hours, going back the next day and looked again until I found them. Say why? Because I won't waste it. We ought to seek peace. Seeking peace, how? By obeying the Bible. Look at the first part of that verse. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Peace is gotten by victory. Victory is gotten by following the rules. Seeking peace by treating everyone with good, respectful, and respectable attitudes. You know, I can disagree with somebody, but I don't have to be a jerk about it. I can disagree with another preacher and not be mad at him. Am I doing okay? For some of you, it's your way or to go to the booger man. Seeking peace, Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We are to be making peace amongst each other, not being the contrary one to everything. If everywhere you go, there's turmoil and there's argumentation and there's all kinds of skirmishing, guess what the common denominator is? We seek peace by not blowing our temper. Well, I just have a short fuse. Sweetie, your fuse isn't any shorter than anybody else's. You just park it next to the candle. Just because you put the fuse next to the lit match all the time doesn't mean your fuse is any shorter. Everybody gets upset. There's times I'll have a conversation with somebody on the phone. I'll hang up the phone and I'll go, boom. You say, why? I didn't do it with them. You'll never know if it was you or not. Nah, 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 nah. But I'll do that from time to time. Say why? I'll be kind while I'm dealing with them. I'll blow it when nobody else can hear me. I don't need to blow off steam to my wife and tell them how stupid you are. My wife doesn't know what takes place. Say why? She needs to have a good attitude about you. She's not my assistant pastor. I don't tell him all the bad things. I really don't. We had a security thing that a couple of our men are aware of, and I had to bring him into the loop on it the other day, and I said, I even feel negative telling you about this, but I got to do this for everybody's security. And we did. He said, Dad, that wasn't negative. I said, but I'm just not used to that. I defended the situation. We ought to be seeking peace. And number five, I got to hurry, I'm done. I love this. Turn to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It's right after the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus. Titus chapter 2. If you haven't shouted all night, now you get to. Titus chapter 2, verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're to be hunting for that blessed hope, which is the rapture. Amen. Folks, we ought to be looking daily for the rapture. What if it were today? Glory to God. Jesus is coming back. It may or may not be in our lifetime, but may I say this, we ought to work as though we're going to live our life out, but we ought to be looking every day in case he comes back.
Amen.
We need not listen to the world's negative about us. Some of you are so sensitive about what people say about you. Guess what? Who cares? When you die, you're going to go to heaven if you're saved.
Amen.
I don't give a rip what anybody says about me. I don't care if they're saved. I don't care if they're lost. Say, why? I'm just preaching the truth. They don't like it. That's between them and God, not between them and me. I'm looking for the rapture. We need to prepare for his return. Are you ready? I better not say that. Too close to 7 o'clock. I'll get off on a trail and preach for 20 minutes. If the rapture took place, what are you going to miss? Some of you are going to get to heaven and your video games aren't going to be there and you're going to be upset. You spend more time with that than you do God. Some of you are going to get to heaven and your Marvel Comics movies aren't going to be there and you're going to be upset. Maybe you ought to learn how to praise God for a while. I won't go down the list any farther. We ought to look for the rapture daily. How'd you like to be out soul winning? Win someone to Christ and boom, the rapture takes place. And you get to be the person that won the last person to Christ before the rapture. Man, wouldn't that be fun? Man, I'd love to be in church when the rapture takes place. We all go up together. And then Brother Lopez can pastor the church because he'll be left. Actually, he and Joe will start their own church. We'll call it the Joe and Joe Church. Oh, that's funny. Let me ask you this. Aren't you tired of just hunting for another dollar? Aren't you just tired of hunting for the next toy? The next thing that you think you want? How about we decide that we're going to hunt the scriptures, hunt for lost people, hunt for wisdom, hunt for peace, hunt for the blessed hope. It's fall. It's hunting season. Can I tell you something? With that book and with Christianity, it's open season year round. Amen. There's no closed season. There's no bag limits. You can get as many bags as you want. Amen. Old ones and young ones. You can get big ones and small ones. You can get every one of them because God said it's open season, but the hunting season's an awful lot like the Christian life. I wonder, how's your hunting season going in your Christian life? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Maybe a little bit of a unique way to present a truth, but it could be pretty powerful in your life if you let it.